This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. On January 29th, Loganville attorney Mike Burlon was elected as the new chairman of the Georgia Democratic Party, an organization that has shrunk dramatically in the last decade, even more so since last November's election. Mike Burlon joins us now. Welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you, Dennis. Great to be here.
First question, why on earth would you want this job?
You know, that's a great question. I get that a lot. And I'll tell you the truth. I mean, I actually see this as an opportunity for Democrats. We have hit a bottom point and now have the opportunity to really design a party from the ground up the way we want to do it. I have the time and the ability to do it, so I figured I'd give it a shot.
The assumption here, though, is that the party has hit bottom. We are, at last count, I think, 9 lawmakers between November and the time that the legislature convened switch parties, including the number 2 Democrat in the House. How do you know that this is the bottom, that you have lost all you're going to lose?
Well, you know, you're never certain about that. But, I mean, I'll tell you, we're at a point in our history as Democrats where I think we can do some things that we've never done before. In the past, we have always run the party as though it was an offshoot of the governor's office or whoever the highest elected official was. And we've never really put our time and effort into the infrastructure that we need to be successful. When you look at the successful parties around the country and you look at North Carolina or Ohio or Pennsylvania – and you see the way that they build from the ground up, precinct by precinct, Democrat by Democrat, that's something that's been lacking here for years, and I think we have an opportunity now to put that into place.
In order to do that, though, you have to let voters know that Democrats not only are listening to them but have answers for them. And increasingly, voters in Georgia have said, we don't know what the Democrats can do for us.
That's also a very good point. I mean, I think over the last several years, we've lost our focus, and I think we've lost our message. When I travel around the state and I talk to people outside of Metro Atlanta, we run into people all the time that used to be Democrats but now vote against their own self-interest simply because we've neglected them. And that's our own fault. That's something that we have to fix. We have to create a message that's going to resonate with people so that they understand that it's okay to be a Democrat, it's okay to vote for Democrats and understand our policies.
What do you mean by voting against their own self-interest? Because many of them feel that the Republicans represent their interests, particularly when it comes to lower taxes, less government. Those are things that a lot of Georgians believe in.
Well, absolutely. And we need a message that is similar. We need to talk about jobs. We need to talk about education. We need to talk about the kind of issues that people have in their homes. I mean, people around the state of Georgia are concerned about their jobs. They're concerned about losing it. They're concerned about being able to put food on the table. This is a tough economy. And as Democrats, we have a pretty good message, I think, that we can put together that can reach those people. We haven't done it in the past. And I've made this analogy a couple of times. We don't compete very well at the speed of the game. The Republicans are very good at getting their message out quickly. They can do it in less than 30 seconds. And unfortunately, Democrats are – we're 3-minute people in a 30-second world, and we've got to shorten that up. And I think once we get better and sharper on message, I think we're going to start making some progress.
What's the message? Have you even reached a consensus on that?
Something that we're working on now. The message for us at this point is it's about the economy. It's about education. It's about jobs. It's about where people's futures are headed, not just in Atlanta but across the entire state of Georgia. Now, we have a little bit of work to do to refine that message, and we're working on that now. And I think that we're going to have a pretty good message when we put it together. People need to understand that we are about trying to increase the quality of people's lives. You know, some years ago, I had an opportunity to sit down and spend some time with Paul Begala, and we were having a conversation about why are you a Republican or why are you a Democrat. And he said something that's always stuck with me, and he said that we are Democrats because we are our brother's keepers. I mean, we care about people, and that's something that I embrace, and I think that that's something that we'll do in the future.
The basic philosophical difference, I think, with Republicans, many of whom would also argue they have that obligation, is right. That they say Democrats want government to do that. Democrats want government to be the brother's keeper, whereas they say, look, there's a much more efficient and effective way to do it.
Well, it may be more efficient, it may be more effective, and that's a debatable point, depending on who you're talking to. But I think the issue that we're really talking about is how do we help people? I mean, in a collective society, government has several purposes, but one of them is to take care of its citizens as best they can. And sometimes the Republican message is so harsh, some people just can't compete. I mean, government has to be able to step in at times and help people that can't help themselves. And that's an important message for me, and I know a lot of Democrats as well.
One of the things that Republicans have talked about a lot when it comes to job creation is A, lower taxes, and B, incentives for businesses to create jobs in the argument of the GOP. How do you come up with an alternative to that that doesn't get styled as either an echo or as something that would hinder job creation?
It's a difficult question. It's something we have to deal with. I mean, Republicans and Democrats, as you know, have philosophically different opinions. The Republican viewpoint is to work from the top down, and we're very much from the bottom up. We think that we will develop well economically, and we will attract voters again by starting with the individual workers, by working from the ground up, and we'll figure out a way to do that. So we approach things in two entirely different ways.
Since the November election, a lot of Democrats, including Michael Thurmond, who ran for the U.S. Senate, said Democrats have to attract more of Georgia's white voters. You have lost moderate to conservative white voters over the last decade. How do you get them back?
Well, that's an absolutely true statement, and that's a long road. I mean, you know, for a long time, we have been perceived as a Democratic Party to be a Metro Atlanta party. And, you know, when you look at the numbers, we have the technology now to look at the numbers, and we know what we need to do to win an election. When you look at the numbers, and I've seen the preliminary ones, I haven't seen the final ones, but you're looking at a 17 or 18%, you know, white voter turnout, you know, that was Democratic. We know we can't win unless we're in the 33 to 35 range. And, you know, we have to increase that. And we have to figure out a way that we can appeal to those voters. Those used to be Democratic voters, and we just let them wither on the vine.
How do you attract them?
We do the hard work. We get the message together. We get back out in the field. We go door to door. We do all the things that you have to do. And, you know, when you look at this project, this is not something that's going to happen overnight. I mean, this is something that is, you know, we put the structure together in 4 years. I will pass this on to the next chair. But we're talking about developing something over the next 6 to 8 to 10 years that will continue to ensure the election of Democrats. It's very similar to what the Republicans did some 20 years ago when they were at the bottom. And it's now about hard work and procedure.
As you look at the question of race in the party, you were just elected, you're white. Was that partly because you wanted to show a face to the rest of Georgia that says, we have an African-American House Minority Leader now, we have an African-American Senate Minority Leader, we are not just a party of African-Americans?
You know, I tell you the truth, I don't know that that was a factor. You know, as a Democrat, I've never thought about anybody in terms of race, color, religion, any of those types of things.
But you acknowledge that's an issue for a lot of folks.
Well, and
there.
It is. And I think the Republican Party has done a great job over the years of painting us as the minority party of, you know, of African-Americans and other minorities. And that's simply not the case. I mean, when you see the makeup of not just the Democratic Party, but you see the makeup of the people that vote Democratic around the state, I think the Democratic Party truly reflects the face of Georgia. And, you know, I'm proud to be associated with it. So we know we have a lot of work to do, but I don't know that it really factored in that much.
On the other hand, you've had recently a couple of local African-American Democrats who've bolted to the Republican Party. How do you maintain and grow the share of support that you have among non-white Democrats while at the same time trying to appeal to white conservative independents and Republicans?
Well, and that's another great question. And I think the answer is, look, we have to protect the areas where we've done well, and we have to do much better in the areas where we haven't done well. And I know we've had a couple of folks switch recently who are African-American to go to the Republican Party. But, you know, my perspective on that is those are minor defections. I think that we have, you know, it's almost aberrational. I mean, you know, we still need to get into the communities throughout Georgia and make sure that people identify as being Democrats.
Do you have the money and the resources to do that? What's your financial shape right now?
Well, you know, I'm still assessing that. I mean, I've been on the job for about a week, and it seems a little bit longer, but for about a week. And, you know, we are, to be quite honest with you, we are in a tight financial situation. You know, we have the ability to do some things. We're going to have to concentrate a lot on raising money. Because that's what it's going to take. I mean, you know, a lot of this in politics, I think as everybody knows, it revolves around money. But I'm confident that we're going to be able to do it.
Do you know who your base is, though?
In what regard?
Well, I mean, is there a profile of a Democratic core supporter? Who are they?
That's a really good question. It's hard to say what that is. Most of the core supporters who are Democrats have a certain belief system. They believe in certain things. They believe in government providing certain social programs to try to help people that can't help themselves. They believe in strong education. They believe in community. They believe in a lot of other issues that are personal or what I would call kitchen table issues. That's how I would identify them. I don't identify those people by race, religion, or anything else because these things all cut across those lines. And so I think it's more the working people in Georgia that we identify most with, if I was going to put sort of a tag on it, the people that are out there working hard, trying to make a living every day and worrying about where the next meal is going to come from, not what's happening politically.
But in order to attract folks to that message, you have to have something that, again, isn't just an echo of a Republican proposal or a flat rejection. You can't be, as we've heard applied to the national Republicans, the party of no. You have to come up with a comprehensive platform.
Right. And here's the strategy. And I think this is something that's been a terrific problem for us for a long time. And that's that as Democrats, we are way too reactive. I mean, we are not proactive. And, you know, I know from the law and I know from, you know, just being in business that if you are able to frame the debate, that you are going to win 9 times out of 10. We let the Republicans frame the debate. We are too slow on that. We're too slow on message. We're too slow on issue. Once we get to the point that we can start framing the debate, we'll start winning these folks back.
Does this mean labeling the Republicans as, I mean, take your pick, just a bunch of bad names? This was one of the tactics that Republicans were able to use nationally, was to portray Democrats as being something bad in the eyes of the voters. Define your opposition. Is that going to be part of your plan?
It's going to have to be. I mean, we need to define the differences between Republicans and Democrats because for too long the Republicans have been able to define us without any appropriate response from us. And after you hear that enough, when people hear that, they start to believe it. And so we need to start a pushback. We need to start our own program of identifying who we actually are and pull that core message together.
And that's identifying really them at the same time. In other words, the gloves come off.
The gloves have to come off. I mean, you know, we have to be able to define who we are, what we do, and why we can help you. And we need to do it in a quick fashion. We also need to be able to identify why the Republicans aren't going to help you that way. So it's a two-step measure. And it's still a work in progress, but it's something that has to be done if we're going to be successful.
In the last decade, Democrats took stands on social issues that they felt were matters of principle, on abortion rights, on gay rights and gay marriage, for instance, on voter ID, on the state flag. All of those probably cost you among that core of moderate to conservative voters over the years. Any regrets about that?
I don't think regret is the word. I think that it could have been better thought out. I mean, as Democrats, we will always defend certain positions. We will always defend individual choice. We will do those things, but we need to do it in a more intelligent fashion. I mean, I go back to framing the debate, if we are pulled into a debate that is something that we know we can't win with conservative voters, and then we continue to fight that point, you just lose traction, you lose ground, and you're not making any progress. We need to know essentially when we should shift a little bit more towards the center and talk about the real issues. We can't continue to be drawn off on these peripheral issues because that is killing us with voters around the state.
Certainly it could be argued, though, on the state flag, there was a push every year that went nowhere to change the state flag, and it was the persistence in the view of a lot of folks who finally won the day on that that made the difference. You lose, you lose, you lose, you lose. Eventually, you win. So, do you give up that persistence in order to accommodate voters that you're trying to attract?
I don't think you give up the persistence. I think it depends on the issue. I think that's really what it comes down to. Because I mean, there are certain issues that, you know, when they come up, and I'm sure there will be in the future, that you just have to go all the way with. And then there are other issues that, if they're just causing you collateral damage or loss, you need to move away from.
And you don't know what those are at this point?
Well, I'm still trying to figure out where my desk is in the office.
Michael Berlin is the new Democratic State Party Chair. Mr. Berlin, thanks very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.